Hey, do you guys know that the God who created the universe wants to talk with you? And not just once, but every day. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren continues his life-changing series called Hearing the Voice of God, where he reveals how you can tune into God's voice, build on a real friendship with Him, and discover His direction for your life loud and clear. And now here's Rick with part one of a message called How God Talks to You.
Now, God tells us that He wants to talk to us. In fact, the Bible is full and full of examples, hundreds of examples of God's talking to people. In fact, if God didn't talk to people, we wouldn't have this book, the Bible. The whole reason we've got this is God spoke to people, told them to write it down, and they did over a period of thousands of years, and now we have the Bible to read what God had said to those people and wanted to say to us. Now, in the Bible, God uses many, many different ways to communicate. Obviously, God is God. He can communicate anyone. If He wanted to communicate through a light bulb, He could do that because He is God, so He can choose any way He wants to. And many of the ways in the Bible are quite spectacular, and some of them are actually pretty bizarre, but He spoke in many different ways. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. He spoke to a guy named Jacob through an angel. He spoke to the entire nation of Israel through a cloud. In fact, one time He spoke to a man named Balaam through a donkey. Now, that might surprise you. Some of you say, well, does God ever do that today? Every week at Saddleback. Still, God does that today. It's pretty bizarre, but Job chapter 33 in the top of your outline, God speaks in different ways, but we don't always recognize His voice. Circle the phrase different ways. God has many, many different ways that He speaks to us. He's not limited to any single way. The problem is we often don't recognize it. We don't realize that it's God talking through that person or whatever it is, talking to us. And so we have to work on the perception issue. Now, this morning, we're going to look at six of the ways that God wants to speak to you. These are not the only way. There are far more than these six. But these are six very, very common ways that God speaks to us. Number one, God speaks to us through the Bible. Now, we start with this one intentionally because it is the number one way that God speaks to us, through His Word. You know, there are a lot of people who say, I want God to send me a fax. You know, I want Him to just write it in the sky what He wants me to do. God is not going to write it in the sky. He's already written it in a book. It's called the Bible. And the reason we have the Bible is because God has already spoken over thousands of years, and people, God told them to write it down, and they did. He's already written it to you, and God never shuts His mouth till you shut the Bible. And if you're never opening the Bible, if you're never reading this book, God isn't talking to you very much. Because the number one way He speaks to us, everything you need for life is already here in this book. Look at what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's read it aloud together. Everything in the Scriptures is God's Word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people and for correcting them and showing them how to live. Why did God give us the Bible? There are four reasons. To teach us, to help us, to correct us, and to show us how to live. Now, I want you to circle the phrase everything and the phrase all of it. It says everything in the Bible is God's Word, and all of it is useful. That means it's 100% reliable, and it's 100% practical, and you can use it in your life. Now, some of the parts of the Bible are hard to understand. Some of the parts you go, now, why did he say that? And some of the parts you have to study, but it's all there for a reason. And what's the reason? To help you. And so the problem is not that it's not helpful, it's that you just don't understand it. It is all there for a reason, even the parts that don't make sense to you. And the Bible says everything in the Scripture is God's Word. If you only believe part of it is God's Word, you got a real problem, because who's going to determine it? You? All of a sudden, you are setting yourself up as the judge. Well, I believe this part. I don't like that part, so we'll rip that out. I believe this part. I don't like that part. What are you doing? You're setting yourself up as a decision maker on what's true and what's not. I'm not going to be the judge of God. He is the judge of me. And he says in the Bible, all of it is true and all of it is useful. So you need to just get into it. Now, we don't have to go into this in detail because most of you have been through class 201, in which we teach you how to get a grasp on God's Word. Remember, five ways: hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. It's like a little hand. And you hear it, that's the weakest way. You read it, you study it, you memorize it, and then your thumb is you meditate on it. And when you think about it, then you got a good grasp on the Word, and it can't be taken from you, and you will develop deep roots and become a spiritual person. But if you're not hearing it, reading it, studying it, memorizing it, and meditating on it, then you don't have a grip, and it can be taken away from you very, very easily. As I said, God never shuts his mouth till you shut this book. This is why a daily time with God is so important. Even if it's just 5 minutes, where you say, I'm going to sit down and 5 minutes a day, I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to let it speak to me every day. And I'm going to stop and think about it, and I will talk back to God in prayer. And that way, God has my undivided attention for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever a day. And he's got my attention, and then I can let him speak to me. Why is that important? Look at the next verse. Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. The Bible says that it is a flashlight for life. It's a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. Now, it's not a high-intensity beam that's going to show you the next 3 years of your life. Some of you want to know all that's going to happen in the future. God's never going to show you that because it'd freak you out. It'd scare you to death. And so you may go try to find all the future in your life. You're wasting your time. Nobody knows the future. Nobody except God. And God's not going to share with you all the future because he wants you to walk by faith day by day. Now, when you have a flashlight, it doesn't show way far ahead. It shows you the next step. And God says, this is the flashlight for life. And you take one step, and then you take another step, and you take another, and he gives you just enough light for each day. That's what the Bible's for. It's not to lay out your whole life because you're not ever going to figure that out. That wouldn't require faith. Now, what you need to do is you need to go get a Bible in a modern translation without all the these and the thous so you can understand it. I would recommend the New Living Translation. And then go start over in the New Testament. That's the part that tells the most about Jesus. And just start reading a little bit of it every day. And then get in a Bible study small group. And we have thousands of small groups here at Saddleback Church. You can get in to study the Bible. Why? Because it's the first way God speaks, through his word. Pastor Tom is going to come and teach.
There's a second way that God speaks to all of us. In your notes, the Bible tells us that God speaks to us through gifted teachers. It's what the Bible talks about over in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 when it says, Christ gifted some to be apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers. And look at why. Why does God gift people to be teachers? So that his people would learn to serve and his body would grow strong. Now here's the question. How do you know if when somebody's talking, they have this gift from God to be a teacher? Here's how you know. You can tell it every time. You know it if when that person is teaching, there comes a moment when you feel like God is speaking directly to me. I'm the only person in the room. I mean, it's like they are just focused right on me. Anybody ever felt that way? You know what I'm talking about? That's when you know that that gift is working, when that happens, because God is. In that moment, God has something to say to you. It's exactly what we pray for as teachers here at Saddleback every week. There's no way in a crowd this size we could know the needs of everybody that's here. And so we pray and we say, God, we don't know who's going to be there and the things that happened in their lives this last week, but you do. And so somehow, would you give us something we don't have, the ability to say something to these people that are going to be here this weekend that helps to meet a need in their lives? And God does that, and that's how that gift works, that gift of teaching. There is a test that all of us need to put to this particular gift, and it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, where the Bible talks to teachers and says, God in his kindness gave each of us different gifts your gift is speaking God's word, make sure that what you say agrees with the faith. If somebody's got the gift of teaching, it's going to agree with the Bible. I don't care how convincing someone is. I don't care how much emotion they can rise up in you. If they are not agreeing with what the Bible says, it's not the gift of teaching. I'm not talking about the ability to give good logic. I'm not talking about the ability to give a good speech or tell a good story. I'm talking about God speaking to you through what somebody is saying. It's what 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13 talks about when it says, we don't speak in words taught by human wisdom. This is something different. We speak in words taught by the Spirit as we explain spiritual truths to those who have the Spirit. I got to tell you, one thing I pray before every time speaking is, Lord, help me to remember the things that you want remembered and help me to forget the things that you don't want said. And I even pray for you. Lord, help them all to remember the things that you want remembered and help them to forget the stupid things that I might say. Because you see, the truth is, it's about God speaking to us, not about what some human being is saying. That's what's important. Now, am I saying that God speaks through human teachers like myself, like Pastor Rick? Absolutely, I'm saying that. Now, it amazes me that he does. Probably more of Pastor Rick than myself, but it does amaze me that he does. Probably one of those stupid things that I'm hoping you'll forget. It amazes me that he does, but he does. Why? Because he cares about you, and he loves you. And so he will use people who teach the Bible to help us to understand his truth.
So God speaks, first of all, through his word, the Bible. Second, he speaks through gifted teachers. Number three, God speaks through godly friends and family. Godly friends and family, particularly if they're believers, he has an easier way to talk through them to you. Now, this one we often discount because often we ignore those who are closest to us, or we dismiss what they have to say, or we discount it, or we devalue it because, well, you know, you're just my mom, or you're just my dad, or you're my brother, you're my sister, you're just a friend. And we don't realize that God actually puts people around you and then puts ideas into their mind to say things to you all the time. And you need to be careful about that because God is often speaking to you through godly friends and family members. Notice this verse. Proverbs 12, 26. The godly give wise advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray. Now, we all have blind spots. Some of us have bald spots, but all of us have blind spots. And you have things in your life that you're never going to see that need to be corrected in your life. And God puts people around you to tell you the truth. Everybody needs somebody in their life who loves them enough to tell them the truth. Do you have anybody like that in your life? Do you have any godly friends who don't just shine you on, don't just tell you what you want to hear, but they love you enough to level with you? They love you enough to point it out and say, you know what, you're blowing it right now. You're making a big mistake. You're full of pride. You're going the wrong direction. If you don't have anybody in your life who has the permission to get in your face, I pity you. It means that you're making a lot of stupid mistakes that are unnecessary because none of us see it all clearly. I couldn't tell you the number of mistakes that I have avoided because I listened to the advice of my wife or Pastor Tom or Pastor Glenn or Pastor Lance or Forrest or any of the other guys. I've got about a dozen people in my life who have permission to get in my face and say, I don't care if you are the pastor Saddleback, you're blowing this. You're wrong. You need to think. Have you ever thought about this? And if you don't have anybody in your life who loves you enough to do that, you need to get them in your life. You need to get somebody there with you who will help you in those times. And you need to be that kind of person. Are you a friend to anybody like that? If you don't do that in people's lives, you're not much of a friend. If you just let people get away with it and you see them making mistakes and stuff like that, and you don't say, hey, what are you doing? Do you realize how this looks to everybody else? Then you have a problem. Now, to all of you who are in a small group, and that's most of you now, I would say I cannot overemphasize this. One of the primary benefits of a small group is feedback. and counsel. You get people in your life who you get to know so well that you can trust them, and they have permission to speak into your life, and you have permission to speak into theirs because you've earned it, and you've proven that you love them. There is no trust without truth, and there is no truth without trust. You're not going to tell somebody the truth unless they trust you, and vice versa. Now, if all you do in your small group is get together once a week, and that's the only time you see each other, you're not going to develop very much of a trust. You just have to spend more time together. You need to do some fun things together. You need to go to the movies together, go to the beach together, go over to people's house and get to know each other. Shoot, our small group went on vacation together. That helps you build relationships. And so when you get to know people and you build some godly friends in your life who love you and know you, know your strengths and know your weaknesses and you know theirs, that protects you so much from so many mistakes in life. It is an invaluable way that God speaks. Now, if you don't ever read the Bible, and if you don't ever listen to godly teachers at church or in a Bible study, and if you're not in a small group where friends who have that ability to do it, God is missing a lot of chances to speak to you. And you need to do that in your life. You see, this is why God hates pride so much. Did you know that the worst sin is not adultery? It is not murder. It is not abortion. It is not homosexuality. The worst sin is pride. Pride. The middle letter of sin is I. And what's wrong with pride? Well, one of the reasons it's bad is it makes me defensive and unteachable. Who are you to tell me? You work on your own life. A person doesn't have to have a life perfect for them to point out something in your life. And when we're prideful, we build up these walls, we keep people far away, and then we can't hear God's voice speaking through other people. Look at this next verse, Proverbs 12:15. Stupid people always think they are right. That's a good verse for the refrigerator door. Now, don't put it on your husband's mirror. Put it on your side. Stupid people think they're always right. Wise people listen to advice. God wants to use you to help others grow, and God will speak through you, but it takes courage. And God wants to speak through other people to you, and that takes humility. Some of you, you know somebody. You've got a friend or a relative or a husband or father or brother or sister or somebody you work with, and they are headed down the wrong path, and you know it. You can see it as clear as day. They're getting involved in an affair, or they're getting involved in some kind of addiction, or they're walking away from the Lord, or they're doing something that's just messing up their life, and you can see it, and you have kept your mouth zipped, and you have said nothing, and you've been a coward, and you have kept silent, and you have not loved them enough to speak truth in their lives. And as a result, you've used the 21st century cop-out, "It's none of my business." Well, it is your business if you love them. Love cares. And if you care, you'll be aware and you'll dare to share. That's love. Love says, "I love you enough as a friend to not let you do this. Don't blow your life. Don't walk into that relationship. I care enough and I will risk the relationship because I love you." And when you do that, God will speak through you. And God will speak to others, to you, in the same way. If you love them, it is your business. That's why the Bible says in Psalm Proverbs 27, verse 6, "Wounds from a friend are better than many kisses from an enemy." In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. You're not just kissing up to people, but you love them enough to say, "You got spinach in your teeth." Okay? You love them enough to say, "This is not right. This is not right." Now, again, this is why you need a small group, because one of the ways God speaks is through a group of other people around you close enough to speak into your life. By the way, what happens if you get in a group where you don't fit? You just change. You don't give up on small groups. Hey, you know what? 2 days ago, I had a lousy meal. I'm never eating again. I went into this restaurant. They were rude. The food was cold. It was terrible. If I can't be consistent, I'm never eating again. Well, how dumb is that? No, what do? You just switch. You say, well, I don't like the people in my group. That's okay. They don't like you either. It's okay to switch. Let's just say that together. It's okay to switch. It's like going to a doctor or anything. If you don't like that doctor, there's plenty of others. We got thousands of small groups. But just because you didn't fit in one particular group, you don't give up on it. Don't miss out on God speaking to you. Because God wants to put people around you close, godly people, who can talk into your life and tell you things that maybe sometimes they don't feel real comfortable to hear, but you need to hear in order to grow. I want you to hear Bob's testimony. Would you give him a warm welcome?
Hi, everybody. My name is Bob, and I'd like to share with you how God spoke to me through my family and friends to get my attention and bring me back to sanity after years of drug and alcohol addiction. I grew up right in Orange County. I did all the normal things. But in junior high school, I began experimenting with drugs and alcohol, and I liked the effect that it had on me, and at the time, I thought it was cool. So I began using on a regular basis. Drugs and alcohol became a solution for all my problems and my low self-esteem. And as my addiction progressed, I plunged down a road of self-destruction. I lived in a constant state of confusion, and my grades dropped, and I was nearly expelled twice. Eventually, I ended up in a rehab outpatient program for 6 months, where I did and said all the right things to get my parents off my back, but I was still living in total denial. I would not let anything stand in the way of my using drugs and alcohol. After high school, I moved out on my own, and during the next 3 years, I sold drugs to pay for my addiction and to give me a false sense of self-worth. I thought everybody was my friend, but my addiction got so bad that I lost my place to live and I had to move back home. This is when God began to speak to me through my family and friends. As a condition of moving back home, my mom insisted that I admit my addiction and get help, but I thought I could quit on my own power without God, but I failed miserably and my life never changed. I was addicted to crystal meth, also known as speed. I lost 40 pounds. I wore baggy clothes to hide how thin and unhealthy I had become. I thought I was fooling everyone, but the only one I was fooling was myself. Then God spoke to me again through my family. They put their foot down and said no more. They forced me to face the truth of my life in what is called an intervention. And they wrote a letter that said how much they loved me and cared about me, but they could no longer support me as I wasted my life. And if I didn't get help, I'd have to leave their home and our family business. My whole world started caving in around me, and the fear of being left with nothing forced me to face the truth of my irresponsibility and to get help. God spoke through my family through tough love, and it gave me a wake-up call. This led me to an AA meeting. And even there, God used people to speak directly to me. I began to understand how utterly powerless I was over my addiction and how my life had become unmanageable. My way didn't work anymore, and the truth was, it never worked. Then I met a Christian man who brought me here to Saddleback Celebrate Recovery. From my first meeting, I knew I was right at home. I've been coming on Friday nights ever since, and God continues to speak to me over and over again through the godly friends and supporters here in my small group. These friends are like family to me. They level with me. They tell me the truth, even when it hurts sometimes, because they love me and they care about me. And through Celebrate Recovery, I began a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I asked him to be the Lord and Savior and director of my life. That changed everything for the better, and now I had the power to change. As God has led me through the biblical steps of recovery, he's given me a desire to serve others who suffer with addiction as well. Now I'm a recovery sponsor, accountability partner to others, and a small group leader for those who struggle with chemical dependency. I hate to think where I'd be today if it hadn't been for God speaking to me first through my mom and family, who cared enough to confront me. My mom faithfully prayed for me for over 10 years, but she did more than just pray for me. She forced me to face the irresponsible, self-centered, self-destructive lifestyle I was leading. She loved me enough to tell me the truth to my face. Instead of covering my failures, making excuses for my self-centeredness, and making it easy for me not to change by always bailing me out whenever I got into trouble, that was real love. Mom's now in heaven, but God's used her voice to change my life when no one else would stand up to me. I also thank God for Pastor John Baker and so many godly friends who continue to challenge me and encourage me at Celebrate Recovery every single week. Most of all, I thank God for my wife, Carrie, who I met 8 years ago at Celebrate Recovery, and we were married. And time after time, God uses her to speak through me in such a gentle way with the wife's godly wisdom. My life has been transformed by Jesus Christ in ways I never dreamed. He's given my life meaning and purpose, and he's taken those most meaningless parts of my life and used them to give my life the most meaning. And in closing, if you want to hear God speak to you, you need to get into his word. But you also need to surround yourself with other believers in a small group on a weekly basis. And maybe you didn't struggle as I did, but if you're struggling with any kind of hurt, habit, or hang-up, we would love to have you on Friday nights at Celebrate Recovery in one of our many small groups. Thanks for letting me share.
The fourth way God speaks is through impressions or ideas from the Holy Spirit. God speaks through ideas from the Holy Spirit. He gives you thoughts. He gives you suggestions. He puts impressions or notions or inspirations in your mind. Actually, when God talks to you in your mind, we call that inspiration. When the devil talks to you, we call that temptation. It's the same thing. It's just a suggestion. When God puts a suggestion in your mind, you are inspired. You have an inspiration. When the devil puts a suggestion in your mind to do wrong, we call that a temptation. And both of them just go directly into your mind. In John 14, 26, it says this: "The Holy Spirit will be your teacher and will bring to your mind," circle that, "bring to your mind all I have said to you." This is Jesus talking. Now, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit our teacher. It also calls him our counselor. He's like a personal coach, like a personal mentor. Today, I know people who spend tens of thousands of dollars for an executive coach. I've had an executive coach for 24 years as we grew this church, and his name is the Holy Spirit. And I'm constantly asking God, "What do you want me to do next? What's next, God? Holy Spirit, what do you want next? What's the next step of Saddleback Church as we're building, building, building?" Now notice it says, "bring to your mind." The Holy Spirit speaks directly to your mind. He doesn't speak in an audible voice. I have never in my entire life heard God speak in an audible voice. Why would he need to? He doesn't need to. He doesn't need to go through my ears. He goes directly to my mind. He brings it to my mind. Look at the next verse. "The Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our heart and tells us that we are God's children." So when we talk about hearing from God, we're not talking about hearing an audible voice. Why would God waste that time? He goes directly to your mind. He knows all your thoughts. He knows everything you're thinking right now. He knows every thought you've ever had. And so he can just speak with an idea, with a suggestion. Now it says he brings it to mind. That means there's got to be something in there to bring out. That's why you need to get in this book. When you read this book and study this book and fill your mind with this book, you are banking the truth in your mind, and then the Holy Spirit can bring it to mind at just the right time. I can't tell you how many times when I've been in stress, a problem, or a temptation, I never have my Bible handy, and even if I did, I wouldn't know where to find it half the time. But instead, if I'm reading the Bible on a regular basis, I'm banking that truth in my mind, because your mind never really forgets anything. And then the Holy Spirit can bring it to mind. He can bring it up. And how many times have I thought, "Well, what about that? Oh, I would have never thought of that on my own." It's the Holy Spirit bringing it to mind.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick. And now this really is one of my favorite parts of the broadcast, letters from our listeners. Here's Rick.
Hi, everybody. Today I want to share a note that we received from Darren. He wrote me, he calls Daily Hope his morning cup of God because it helps him stay focused on God throughout the day. Darren wrote me this. He said, "Pastor Rick, I thank God for Daily Hope. I support Daily Hope because Christ Hope is for me and in me, and I support it because it sends Christ's message to people all over the world." He wrote, I've dealt with my share of demons in my life. I've had cancer, huge financial losses, addictions, permanent disability, chronic pain, and depression. But Daily Hope gets me going in the morning. It's like a cup of coffee for me. But if I haven't had my cup of God in the morning, then I feel like I'm less able to pass on the good news to others. So thank you, Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope helps people like Darren get their lives back on track because it connects them not just with God, but with God's Word. And it is so important for each of us to spend time with God and in God's Word every day. So I want to encourage every one of you to make a daily habit of opening the Bible. Sit down and open the Bible. You may open it on an iPad or on your phone, but open the Bible to see what God says about how we're meant to live. God bless you, everybody.
To sign up for Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.